Okay, interview time. On the phone right now is Don Richards from an organisation called Positive Money in Wellington. There's also a Positive Money in England, as far as I know, and maybe others elsewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us today. For the purpose of our listeners, can you please explain what Positive Money is?
Certainly. Well, our current system is debt-based in that money is created as debt. And it's introduced into the economy by private overseas banks. And so the only way for our economy to grow is for more people to get into debt. And if people were to pay off their debt, then our available money supply would constrict. So we call that a debt-based system. And our positive money system is where money is introduced into the economy by the government, free of debt, and it can be likened a bit to monetary dialysis. The current system is circulating toxic money through the host, i.e. the New Zealand economy, and it's gradually killing the host. It is unsustainable, and it will, like most parasites, kill the host. So we say positive money is money that will vitalise and energise the economy, the toxic money will be flushed out, and then the economy will grow, and it won't necessarily need to grow, it will balance itself out, and the huge exit of money in the way of repatriated profits going over the Tasman will disappear, and the government will be able to pay down its overseas debt, taxes will come down. Our rates bill will come down, and New Zealand will thrive. So that's what we call positive money.
I noticed that just a couple of weeks ago, the Reserve Bank in New Zealand said that the four big banks, Australian-owned banks, together made a profit of $3.6 billion, which obviously was transferred to the mothership in Australia.
Absolutely, yes.
And also the United States now, $17 trillion in debt.
Yes, the numbers are eye-watering, and our current government is focusing on the minuscule. They are increasing the tax take for paper boys, paper girls. They're upping the cost of prescriptions. they're doing mean-spirited little jabs where the obvious benefit is to stop borrowing money from overseas banks and for the government to create it debt-free.
Tell us a bit about the Positive Money campaign. I understand it started in the UK and you're the New Zealand arm. How did the campaign start and how long has it been running?
Well, it's actually based on a paper that was introduced back in the 1930s called the Chicago Plan, and it was put before President Roosevelt as a way of getting out of the Great Depression. Now, unfortunately, the Chicago Plan was never implemented. However, positive money in the UK has modelled its proposal on the Chicago Plan, and they started up about 4 years ago. And we attended a DVD presentation on the Secret of Oz. It's a parable, it takes the meaning from the Wizard of Oz and converts it into what was happening at the time with the monetary policy. And once I'd finished watching the documentary, I was very upset about it. And I thought, well, I've got to do something about it. Just being upset about it. So we contacted Positive Money UK and said, can we borrow your website? We will convert the text to the New Zealand situation, and they were happy for us to do that. So we are acting as Positive Money UK's voice in New Zealand.
Right.
Now, we're not the only ones. There is 12 other organisations around the world with similar directives.
Oh, okay.
Iceland, Ireland, Holland, Germany, Switzerland, France, Sweden, Israel, Australia, and the United States. And we're all part of the International Movement for Monetary Reform, IMMF, and we are the New Zealand chapter of the IMMF. And we're all committed to the same thing, having governments issue our money free of debt.
Because what's happening now, is it the case that the banks create the money, but it's all interest-bearing, but governments have the right to create interest-free money?
Well, that's right. That's right. Actually, the banks do not have, there is no enabling legislation to allow them to do this. And in fact, it's just a lack of will on behalf of governments that have allowed private overseas commercial banks to create our money supply as debt. It's outrageous, and they just need to get some spine and do something about it.
What hold do the banks, do you think, have over any government? Are banks that powerful that they can dictate what governments, elected governments, do?
Well, I think it's not just the power they hold, it's the paradigm in which they operate. John Kenneth Galbraith, he was an economist in the 20th century, and he said that the process by which money is created is so simple that the mind is confounded. When you tell people that money can be created out of thin air, people just don't understand. But if you say you have to go and borrow it from a bank, who then charge you interest, then people say, oh, at least we're earning it from somewhere, or at least it's coming at a premium. But what they don't understand is the banks created out of thin air, and then they have the temerity to charge compounding interest for a product they don't have. And
so what does happen when you go to a bank to get a loan? You borrow grandma's savings, don't you?
No, you don't. Let's say, for example, you want to buy $300,000 for a house. You go in and you have a property that's valued at $320,000. So that's the asset. So on the double entry bookkeeping, you sign a mortgage for $300,000, and the asset is the house, the liability is the loan, the things are balanced. So the bank actually just creates the $300,000 as a book entry, and then you sign the mortgage saying you will pay them $300,000, and the money gets created at that stroke of the pen.
And then the money gets transferred to the seller's bank, I suppose, and the digital money goes around.
Yes, that's right. That's right. It is digital money. You're quite right. It's not actually green folding stuff. It's electronic money. And only 2% of our money supply is actually notes and coins. The rest is electronic money. And this is what we say. We need to modernize our banking system, because 60 years ago, the incidence of coins and notes was a lot higher. It was around sort of 50%. Now, with internet banking and with digital money, used to 2%, and the other 98% is virtually created by banks as debt.
I mean, if the system were to be changed somehow, it would have to be a step change. Is there a plan, you know, a proposed 10 or 20 year plan to wean us off the banks?
Yes, you're quite right. There would need to be a transition stage. We just couldn't go cold turkey. And so banks currently need to hold about 8% of the money they lend out in reserve. And then the other 92% is all digital. So we would say in the first 10, or the first 5 years, that 8% would increase to 15%.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next 5 years, 15 to 30. And so there'd be a gradual transition until the government was issuing our money supply and the banks would actually be only lending out the money that they had on deposit.
Like,
now, if there's a shortfall in the amount the banks had on deposit, they could go and borrow that from the Reserve Bank. But they would pay interest on it.
Okay. So you wouldn't go to the government to get a mortgage then under your scheme?
No, there'd still be a role for the banks, but the banks would actually do what a lot of people assume they do, lend out the money they have on deposit.
It will take a political change. What's been going on in the background with your organisation in New Zealand in engaging politicians and explaining to them what you think needs to be done?
We approached Bill Inglis, the Minister of Finance, wrote him a couple of letters, polite letters, and he responded saying that New Zealand is following international best practice and that there is no need to change the system. Okay. I did point out to Mr. Inglis that international best practice almost took us down, along with the rest of the world, and we do actually need to change. On our third letter, he wrote back saying that the matter is closed and he will not be responding to any more of our letters.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So we never got to see Mr. Inglis. We wrote a few letters and then the matter was closed. However, we have spoken to a number of other politicians. We've spoken to Grant Robertson, who at the time was the deputy of the New Zealand Labour Party. And it was interesting. I had a conversation with him, and he said, "What you're proposing is pretty radical." And I said, "Well, Grant, just cast your mind back 120 years ago. Kate Sheppard came to her electoral office and proposed that women get the vote, and I dare say she got the same reaction." He had a little laugh at that. We've also spoken to David Parker, who's the Labour Finance Minister. We've spoken to Annette King. We did approach David Cunliffe, but David Cunliffe said that, of course, we'd spoken to David Parker, he's well aware of what we're up to, and I'm sort of quietly confident about David Cunliffe. He's starting to say the right words around monetary policy. Now, he's being very careful around what he says, but I'm quietly confident he will be moving in the right direction. Okay. How far he goes in the right direction is still to be seen.
Because the banks will tell us that the world would implode without them.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we really have only got ourselves to blame for this because we've actually allowed it to happen. But it's a bit like I said, with Votes for Women. When that was first promulgated, they said the empire would laugh at us, we'd lose all our credibility, trade would cease, and all hell would break loose. Same thing happened when we did our nuclear-free legislation. We would become the pariah of the West.
I see.
It's all really bluff and bluster.
Have the banks responded to you at all?
We haven't approached the banks.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, I didn't think you would, but I just wondered if they had contacted you to show you the error of your ways.
I did actually have a conversation with a senior Westpac banker at an event I was talking at, and he tried to shout me down, saying that banks certainly do have the money and that I was deluded and dangerous and all manner of things.
Oh, I see.
So he said he was doing a PhD in economics, and what I was talking was rubbish. Yes. And that I was a dangerous person.
Has the global movement on positive money, has it made any real headway? Has it achieved any change or anything at all in the few years it's been running?
Well, it's interesting because you're getting people like Adair Turner, Lord Turner, who's the head of the British Financial Authority, saying we need to have a change. The current system is flawed, and it was a bit like an emperor's new clothes movement. Adair Turner said governments need to start creating money and injecting it directly into the economy. Now, Lord Turner is not one to mince his words. And we're also getting that sort of feedback from others. The Green Party of England and Wales have passed a motion to place money creation into public hands and end fractional reserve banking. And that's part of their approach. The Pope is actually calling for ethical reforms of the monetary system, saying that money has to serve, not rule. The British Telegraph in the UK is mentioning that students are actually openly talking about learning economics, not through the current system, but a system that actually works. So the conversation is getting out there, and it's getting traction from people in the middle, rather than it being a conversation that's just from the likes of myself or the other, IMF people.
Don, if you want the government to issue money rather than banks, how does the government physically do it? Does it print more notes and coins and give it to people? How do they actually get it into the system to replace the bank?
Well, firstly, there would be a central group that would actually specify how much new money can be created in any one year. So the government wouldn't just be able to create money willy-nilly. The Monetary Policy Committee would look at the economy and say, okay, based on everything, unemployment and the like, we say we can inject $10 billion into the economy. So the Treasury would then be instructed to issue money, and it would be into infrastructure projects, or it could be to reduce the national debt, or it could be to help with large construction projects, and it would actually be injecting the money indirectly. It could even be in the form of a citizen's dividend, where everyone gets, I don't know, maybe $10,000. But it actually puts the money into circulation free of debt, and it can then circulate. The problem with debt is that as soon as it's repaid, it disappears.
And there's no money to spend.
There's no money. That's right. There's no money to spend.
And then you get depression.
The benefits would stay here in New Zealand.
Yes. So if I get this right, then what you're suggesting is that the way the government would introduce money into the system is to say, we're going to build a bridge, for example, or a road or a hospital, and we won't borrow the money to do that. We'll just create it and spend it into the system, and the employees, the people who work on those projects, get paid. It's debt-free money. Then they start spending it.
Yes. Now, there is a precedent for this, because in 1936, the New Zealand government did the same thing for the construction of our state houses. They actually had a scheme where you would be paying 1% interest, and they introduced the money directly into the economy, and tens of thousands of houses were built, people were put to work, and new money was injected into the economy. And that actually brought us out of the Great Depression sooner than a lot of other countries.
So what's the next step for the Positive Money campaign in New Zealand? It's election year, Don. Is that going to keep you busy lobbying people looking for votes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is a point of difference between National and Labour and the Greens. And the perception out there is that big business and finance is supporting National, and Labour and the Greens are on the other side of the equation. So I don't think we'll get much traction from the National Party, but certainly Labour and the Greens and Mana are interested in the conversation. So I will be standing as an independent in the Rongotai electorate, and my wife Sue will be standing in the Ohario electorate here in Wellington.
Okay.
And we'll use that as a platform to get our message across.
Mm.
And we've been talking through community groups and the like, and we spoke to a senior advisor for one of the government departments recently, and he said, this is the way you can influence the conversation. You need to actually get out there and get people thinking. And politicians will listen to votes.
Yes.
And That's the conversation we're having now, is getting the message out there to more and more people.
Okay, and what's your website address, Don?
Positivemoney.org.nz.
Thank you, Don Richards. Don Richards there of positivemoney.org.nz. Do check out the website. There's some very interesting, very short, brief, 2 or 3 minute long videos that will really give you some inside track on the current monetary system and why countries the world over are in so much debt, trillions and billions of dollars in debt.